Behind the Wheel. Visit our website, behindthewheel.com.au.
Wayne, lovely to talk to you. And what's it like having the best job in the world?
It's pretty good. It's a lot of fun. You know, people say that to me all the time, and it's just a job, or it's just a life experience. I guess it's not really a job, but it is pretty exciting to go around the country and meet so many nice people, go to car shows, and to chase classic cars.
You never know what you're going to find. That must really keep you interested and excited. But I guess in a way sort of slightly stressed as well. I mean, you might think to yourself, maybe I've found all the good ones. It's a constant surprise party, is it?
You know, I was just asked that question today. What's the best in car you've ever found? And I say that's the next one. Because it's so exciting. You get up in the morning and sometimes you go, well, what will I find today? You know, it's like Christmas almost every morning. You never know what's under the tree.
How much of it is instinct, knowing the right places to look? And I suppose some of it too is, you know, getting on that grapevine, because a lot of the time everybody knows what everybody's got, and it's about doing that legwork, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, and what you really got to do is go and meet the people. It's got to be a face-to-face meeting, and sometimes you hear things, and they're too good to be true. For instance, we've just got an episode that just came out here in the U.S. About a Stutz Bearcat that a guy called me on and said, I found a Stutz Bearcat in a garage. It's been sitting there since 1931, and you sort of doubt that. You have to follow up on every lead. And when you do, sometimes it comes true. And this has got to be one of my greatest finds ever. A 1921 Stutz Bearcat that was put up on blocks in 1931. And one of the most spectacular cars. And the name alone gets you excited. Stutz Bearcat. I mean, that alone is enough to get you going.
Yeah, absolutely. What a find. Is there any particular car that sort of haunts your nightmares? It was one that you'd wish you'd left alone, or one that slipped through your fingers?
Well, I'm always thinking about owning the one car that I know I'll probably never be able to own, because as the prices escalate, I'm always a little bit behind being able to afford it. But a 250 short wheelbase Ferrari to me is probably one of the best cars ever made. And, maybe one day I'll have one, but I've restored 9 of them, and so I've had the pleasure to be able to restore them and drive them at somebody else's expense. So I think I've satisfied that itch.
Well, speaking of itch, you do have a bit of a love for the Prancing Horse brand, don't you?
I do. I was brought up, fortunately, near Luigi Canetti Motors in Greenwich, Connecticut. And I used to go down, my dad would take me down once a month so I could look in the window and look at the Ferraris. And then when I was just in my late teens, we were able to fix a Ferrari for one of my father's clients. And I really took a liking to it. And next thing you know, Mr. Canetti was sending me cars to restore for him and fix body damage. And so It just took off from there. So I've been involved with Ferrari since the late 60s. And the first car that really did it for me was when I was 10 years old. I drove in a 1961 Ferrari 250 short wheelbase. And at that stage, it was the most exciting car I'd ever been in, and it still is today.
There's a real resurgence in restoring cars. Do you think that, I know I've read a couple of your quotes in the past, where you sort of lament that maybe the restoring cars phenomenon might not have a future because, our cars are becoming things that we just can't tinker with. They're electronic and computer controlled. I guess that's sort of the sad thing, is that maybe this could be the golden period of restoration.
Well, it could be, but, you know, if you step back in time and of course, with a horse and buggy and back in the early 1900s, they were probably thinking the same thing. They were saying, how are we ever going to deal with these things called automobiles with engines and steam and things? But there's always a way to do these things. And I think that, of course, collector cars or classic cars are cars that I think go back in time, and there's only so many of them that were made. And so if you cut it off at the 80s or something like that of really classic or collector cars, and you go back to the 30s, there's only so many of those left, and there's a lot of people in the world. And if we bring their interest up to a level where they want to experience what we've been experiencing for years through our television coverage, I don't think there's going to be an end to our hobby.
I guess it's what people have got an emotional attachment to, isn't it? You know, it doesn't just have to be a Mercedes-Benz Gullwing or a Ferrari. Basically anything, really, I suppose, is what the point I'm getting to, can be collectible down the track.
Well, I always advise people, and I have a consulting business, and so I always say, make sure that you love the car that you're about to start to collect. Don't go with a trend as much as a lot of people do, but sort of buck the trend sometimes and be the trendsetter instead of the follower. And so go with something that you're interested in, that you love. Be a little different. Be a little out of the box. And that people will come to a car show, they'll look at 25 Camaros, but if you have a Nash Rambler station wagon, and it's weird, people will look at that car more than all the others. Buck trends. But make sure that you love the car that's in your garage, because if the values of cars go to zero tomorrow, make sure that you still love what's in your garage.
Yeah, exactly right. Wayne, what's the secret to a good restoration? Is there one rule that you've got to go by?
The secret to good restoration is, of course, your employees and the people that are doing the restoration, but also research. Making sure that the car is correct as it left the factory, and that's our goal when we're restoring certain cars. I mean, there's different levels and different ways of restoring a car. You can restore a car to be a hot rod. You can go out of the box a little bit. But if you're restoring a car to be authentic as it left the factory, which is more of what we do at our restoration shop, it comes down to research. And sometimes research can take a long time, but yet it pays off in the end.
Yeah, research is the key, isn't it, to get in there. And I suppose, you know, luckily nowadays we are blessed with this wonderful Google that we can get on and get all the information and details, but, you know, look back in the old books and pamphlets and brochures, and really exciting. And I can see why people get hooked. It's a wonderful, I don't know if hobby is the right term, but a real passion. And it must be pleasing for you to see that you share this passion with so many people, and to see the amazing products that come out of everybody's garage, and, you know, they're so proud, and it is a really strong community, the restoration community, isn't it?
It is. It's very strong, as well as the owners of the cars are so passionate about it, whether they do the work themselves or they're part of a restoration team. We have certain ways of restoring cars. Some are directly with the owners where they're with us every week, you know, following the process. And then there's some guys that just want to see pictures on the internet. Some guys don't want to see anything. They just want to pay the bill and get the car at the end. But yet there's different ways of handling it. And we want the person to be involved as much as they possibly can with the restoration, so they can feel that it's their car, that we didn't do it, that they were part of the experience.
Is there a particular car that the team and yourself have in the garage at the moment that's a standout?
Well, we're doing one right now. So we're usually known for our Ferrari restorations or Lamborghinis. We're just finishing a Lamborghini Miura S, which has been a great project. But the one project that really I've been very favorite to is a 49 Buick Roadmaster convertible that was in the movie Rain Man. And it means a lot to me because I have an autistic daughter. And so when I saw that movie, it really meant so much to me. And every time I watch it, I get tears in my eyes. But to bring that story of autism to the national level and the international level that it did, but to have the opportunity now through the producer of the movie and the director of the movie, and be able to restore it for him, and now be able to show it around the country for him. Its first showing is going to be at the Amelia Island Concours in Florida this coming March. And so that, I think that probably is probably the biggest project that's in our shop right now that I'm most excited about.
Yeah, well, one of the most famous TV cars of all time. It certainly was a star in the Rain Man movie, and a great looking car as well. Hard to beat some of the American classics. They certainly come up well. Wayne, it's yeah. been lovely talking to you, and we wish you all the best with the show moving forward into another season, and we'll catch it on Discovery Turbo channel. It's called High End Cars.
Yeah, Discovery Turbo. It's really great that that so many people watch it all over the world. I think we're in 36 or 7 countries now, so we're very fortunate to be able to share our passion with so many people.
BehindTheWheel.com.au.